As we look to share this morning from the book of Jude only has one chapter. I will be lifting up verses 3 and 4 for the purpose of this sermon. Jude, verses 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, family, I want to share from the subject, from the thought, when faith is good enough. When faith is good enough. It is easy to lose your religion. Ask the Apostle Jude, the brother of Jesus. Just a few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jude found himself pleading with Christians to remain faithful. Many of the Christians in his day had actually seen Jesus. They had actually listened to his teaching. And they followed him from town to town. And yet Jude felt they needed a refresher, a reminder that anything worth having is worth fighting to keep. In today's passage, Jude declares his intentions in writing this short letter. We see in verse 3 that Jude's original purpose is composing his letter was to discuss their common salvation. Yet this initial motivation was put on hold because circumstances made it necessary for Jude to encourage his audience to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Why did Jude find it necessary to urge his people, his audience, to fight? In verse 4, he explains that certain ungodly people had crept into the church, people who, as false teachers, were designated long ago for condemnation. Wolves had gained ground among lambs, and the sheep needed to be warned lest they would fall prey to deception. These teachers perverted the grace of our God into sensuality and denied our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. While the exact details of their false words are unknown, it is clear. These teachers were claiming to be Christians while living immoral lives. The term rendered ungodly in verse 4 was often used by Jews to describe the ethical godliness practice in ancient Greek culture. Using the grace of God as an excuse, these teachers were denying the sovereign right of the Lord Jesus to determine moral behavior, substituting their own standards instead. Yet such immoral living is a disgrace to the faith delivered to the saints that is mentioned in verse 3. Here, this old-time religion, this faith, is used to describe the content of what is believed by Christians. It includes such things as the simple proclamation of the gospel as well as the moral teachings of the apostles. Christians are to take the basic doctrines, the faith, and live by them, extracting from them further implications and principles for Christian living. They are not to be denied nor distorted. Paul used similar terminology in 2 Timothy 4:7, wherein he stated that he had remained faithful to this deposit of truth, this doctrinal core to which all believers should adhere. Also consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul is commenting on what has been delivered, the faith, considered and described as the basic content of the gospel. In particular, this is the kerygma, the gospel, which is a necessary part of the faith. This faith was once for all delivered by God through his apostles. It is not open to change. It is not open to revision, nor is it open to addition. We find its contents in the pages of sacred scripture, which contains all the doctrine profitable for our instruction. Through this faith was once delivered, this letter and the course of church history for that matter makes it clear this faith cannot be taken for granted, but must be zealously guarded and defended. When we contend for the purity of the gospel, we, unlike these false teachers, submit to the sovereignty of Christ. What causes our celebration of faith to grow stale? Have we grown so confident of the ultimate outcome that we have decided to take a back seat? When the fires of our faith burn low, is it because we have grown complacent and content? Consider what happens when adversity challenges our comfort zone. Remember what happened right after 9/11. Millions turned to their faith for answers. Large crowds of Christians burned candles in the street and marched through together in parks. Most churches were packed to capacity for several Sundays following the crisis. People of all races and religions sought the Lord for solace and comfort. Maybe that is what happens. When things are running smoothly, we get comfortably separated from the Lord. And then a crisis happens. And it's like a wake-up call. We are suddenly reminded that we need the Lord. The last 4 years has been a wake-up call. We are suddenly reminded that we need the Lord. Dealing with this pandemic known as the coronavirus for the last 10 months is a wake-up call. And we are suddenly reminded that we need the Lord. After an election that shifts the direction of our nation, we are suddenly reminded that we need the Lord. During yesterday's MAGA march on DC, a Trump supporter held up a sign that read, "Coming for blacks and Indians, welcome to the New World Order." My brothers and sisters, we are suddenly reminded that we need the Lord. The faith that once for all delivered to the saints is assaulted in a variety of ways in our day. Some overtly deny gospel truth. Some add new revelations from the quote unquote spirit or church tradition to the apostolic testimony. Some ignore their responsibilities to become well grounded in doctrine. We must take some time to consider how we must contend for the faith where you live. We must pray God would help us learn to stand for the faith established in his word. Jude earnestly warns us to hold on to our faith, the faith that was delivered to the saints of old and preserves still today, the faith that was given to our mothers and our grandmothers and to them old deacons and deaconesses. We must preserve that still today. Shall we hold on to this old time religion? What does this faith do for us? An old Negro spiritual takes us through the reasons one by one. You know the song. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, for it's good enough for me. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to raise the question, what makes it good enough? First, this old time religion makes us love everybody. Love is the most important identifying trait of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." The disciples got the message. Paul said that all other virtues take second place to godly love. He said, if you have faith, the gift of prophecies, miracles, knowledge, and you can speak in tongues, but you don't have love, you have nothing to offer your fellow man. The disciple John, the beloved disciple, said, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that rock named Peter said, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Yes, that old time religion makes you and I love everybody. It makes us render good for evil and praise for those who despitefully use you and me. It will make you smile when you would otherwise frown. It will make you serve when you would otherwise quit. It will make you forgive when forgiveness makes no common sense. Why do you and I love? Because Christ loved us and because Christ forgave us. So you love not only those who love you, but those who do not love you and those who do not even know you. St. Augustine said, you love because God loves you as if you are the only one to love. Love is not just a series of actions and expressions of compassion. It is not just a compilation of sentimental words. It is not just a lifetime commitment to our spouses, our family, our friends. Love is more than what we say and what we do. If we have still got that old time religion, love is the essence of who we are. The love of Christ is poured into us so we can pour it out of us. We can love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. Secondly, the song says this old time religion was good for Paul and Silas. Have I got a witness? To understand that you have to read the account of Paul and Silas when they were in prison at Philippi. Paul and Silas were whipped and cast in the prison for spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, someone with a weak faith would have given up hope. But Paul and Silas had that old time religion. And you know the story of what happened at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. They sang so loud that other prisoners heard them. And suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundation of the prison. So much that all the chains fell off the prisoners. And all the cell doors flung open. That is when the prayer meeting really got off the ground. Even the guard joined them and gave his life to Christ. Paul and Silas could have left the prison, but they said, our captors put us in here. Let them take us out. When the magistrates heard that Paul and Silas would not leave the prison, they got scared. They got them out of prison and begged them to get out of town. My brothers and sisters, this is a moving story, but it just goes to show you what that kind of faith can do for you and for me. I will take that old time religion any day. The one that was good for Paul. The one that was good for Silas. That old time religion will get you out of many a fix. It will give you tranquility in the midst of trouble. It will give you endurance in the midst of adversity. It will control you in the midst of commotion. It will soothe you with harmony in the midst of discord. It will inspire you in the midst of the impossible. You'll find yourself content despite criticism. Your faith will be your refuge in the midst of danger. Yes, give us that old time religion that was good for Paul and Silas. Finally, this old time religion will do when we are dying. We like to sing hymns that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory, but tell the truth. We may have our tickets in our hand, but none of us are anxious to get there. We want more time down here to experience God's grace and mercy a little bit longer. But every journey ends sometime. And when we reach that end, that old time religion is what we will need, because it will do when we are dying. It is the faith that maps out our Jordan crossing. It is the gateway that flows into the throne room of God. It is the path that points us to the King's garden. It is the threshold that satisfies the human soul. I know we do not like to talk about dying, but when we get to the end of our journey, it is our faith that takes over completely. When there is no more time for doctors or hospitals or tests or medicine, this old time religion will have to do. It has the power to carry us over to the other side. There is no elevator to lift you and I out of here and take us up to glory. You will have to count on that old time religion to do it for you. Have you got that old time religion? When you know what I'm talking about, that old time religion that refashioned your life, it resolved your doubts, it reshaped your thinking, it reestablished your priorities, it relaxed your nerves, it rearranged your values, it reformed your attitude, and it regenerated your soul. If it is real, if you're rooted in Christ, if he is all you want and all you need, then you can sing with me this morning. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It is good enough for me. My brothers and sisters, is it good enough for you? May God add a blessing to the hearers of his message. Maybe there's someone here today that faith is a little weary, a little weak. You've tried all that you can try, but you've never tried Jesus. I want to extend this invitation to you, and I ask that you repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, the Son of God, I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible, your word. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. And the people of God said, amen.